Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We are back this week. We are on every Thursday, Gold SRT, in case you don't know what that is. We usually go every other week, but the holidays screwed us up, so we're back on this week. We are very excited for the show. Later on, we have boys varsity basketball player, a new addition to the team, Garrett Covington. He'll be joining us, but right now, we are going to talk about the girls team, and we have a special guest, girls varsity basketball player, Celine Funky. Thanks for joining us, Celine.
Thanks for having me.
All right, to start things out, Celine, you guys had a huge victory on Tuesday night, 54-24 over rival Fishers. How were you guys able to be so dominant on the defensive side? You held them to 2 points in the first half. How were you able to be so dominant on the defensive side on the road?
Well, Coach Winland had a really good scouting report for us ready, so we knew where we had to be. We knew how to play basically every single player. And actually, it was their senior night, so they had all their seniors starting, so they didn't have their normal lineup, but we still were able to keep it together just because the game plan was so good.
All right, guys. So we always ask players around the team, who's the main emotional leader? They always say you. You're always the name that comes up. But besides you, who else would you say is very emotional on the court?
I would definitely say Andy Quaz. She and I are the sixth and seventh man on the team, and if you ever watch us on the bench, we are always coming up with new things and new like stunts when we score. But I would say us two really try and keep it together and keep the hype up, I guess, as some people would say.
Now, you described your role as the emotional leader on the team. Just on the court, other than that, what would you say your role is for the Lady Greyhounds?
Not the dirty work, but I try and do the defensive stuff and get rebounds, and I just try and do anything that messes the other team up. I'm not obviously one of the leading scorers or anything, but I love the role that I play just because I feel like everyone, this year we've had such a great season that I feel like everyone's just put the parts together and we all know where we stand, and it's gone really well.
Now, speaking back on the emotional side, last week we saw tempers get really hot with Ben Davis and Pike as they got in their fight. Both of their seasons got suspended for the rest of the year. So you, as one of the more emotional leaders on the team, how are you able to keep your cool and stay calm in those heated moments?
Well, Winland really told us, he said that after this happened, he told us, I mean, if there's ever a moment like that, you need to be the leaders that grab your players and get them out of the situation. If you're on the bench, you stay on the bench. There was actually a girl from, I think it was Pike, but she's got a scholarship.
Yeah, it was Pike, yeah.
And she decided to stay on the bench and not get involved. And that's basically, that's what we try and do. So I'd say it's just not worth it. At the end of the game, if you're the winner and they look up at the scoreboard, who cares what they think? It's all about the end of the game and who wins.
Now, you make a great point there, looking up at the scoreboard and winners and losers. And we're going back to the talking about defense. You're also the goalie for the soccer team and one of the top softball players as well. What's it like juggling three sports all in one year?
I don't even notice it anymore because it's weird for me when I get to go home after school and I don't have practice. I love always having something to do, and spending time with my teammates is my favorite thing. So I wouldn't trade what I've got.
How difficult is it for you to transition between sports? That 2 week transition period or so when you're trying to switch from, you know, basketball to softball or soccer to basketball?
That's a great question because they're such different sports and they use different parts of your body. So those first week or two, I'm definitely really, really sore. But softball I'm doing year-round, so the transition to softball isn't as bad. But going from soccer to basketball is always a little tricky, getting ball handling back and even your shot. But the coaches are really, really flexible with me, and it's been awesome my whole time here.
Focusing back on the basketball side, the defense has been on fire ever since the loss at North Central, giving up less than 50 points in that stretch every single game. How has the defense been able to be so good, and do you think this play will continue on into the playoffs?
Like I said before, I mean, the scouting reports are really good. We've got, I couldn't tell you how many defenses we have between zones and offense and trapping and full court. I mean, he's got it all down, and with how much we practice, we've gotten all the defenses down. So I think it'll continue, and we just have to keep playing the way we are.
Now, this year is a new year. You don't have some of the leaders you have last year, obviously, and different players are stepping up. If you had to describe this year's basketball team in one word, what would that word be?
Unselfish. I would say we've really shared the ball well. We're making the extra passes. I don't know our stats with assists or anything like that, but I mean, if you saw the Fishers game, there was just so much unselfishness. Nobody cared who was scoring. We all just, whoever's open. I mean, one time, I forget who we were playing, but we had a breakaway and there were literally three of us at the end of the court and nobody there. And we made two or three passes just to get to the closest person. So honestly, we've just been really unselfish, and I think Winland's helped us instill that that's really important this year.
I want to focus on one specific play from that Fishers game because I announced that I was there. It was the end of the third quarter. You were taking the inbound pass. You found a wide open Olivia Christie on the other end of the court in one of the most impressive passes I've ever seen. How were you able to find her so wide open as she hit that shot for the buzzer beater?
Well, we did. We always practice our full court man when JV's on us, and I, being a softball player, I'm always looking for the long pass because I love to incorporate different things. But Viva was jumping up in the air doing like cartwheels, basically asked me for the ball, so it was the only thing I could think to do. And it wasn't as good of a pass as it could have been, but she picked it up and still hit the three, so it was awesome.
Now, I know my last question focused around soccer and softball as well. I'm going to ask you another soccer question because I've been wondering this one. In your time at Carmel, being the goalie, you let in, what was it, 5 goals total in the last 2 years? How did you do that, especially coming in playing goalie for only 2 or 3 seasons? How are you able to make that transition?
Honestly, I think it's that I've been playing 3 sports and just the athleticism, and I'm decent with my hands since I play basketball and softball. But Frank was just one day going into my junior year, he was like, hey, why don't you try being a goalie? Because our starting goalie had just graduated. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's fine. And Carla Baker, who is the goalie coach, was incredible. She played on the Canadian national team. I mean, she's amazing. And so she really shaped me into the goalie that I became the past 2 years. So
with these 3 sports that are pretty much year-round sports, but you find some way to make them work, do you actually have any time for off-season training for any specific one?
Yeah. Ever since I was going into my junior year and I needed to decide what I wanted to play in college, and I decided softball. So then I started playing travel, which normally girls start when they're really young. I mean, girls have been playing for like travel ball for 8 years or something, but I decided to jump on that. And so now I try and practice. I think we normally, for my travel team, we practice every Sunday. And then normally once every week or every other week, I'll try and go to my hitting instructor, Chris Estep at Round Tripper. So I try and make it work.
Let's take a break from the sports side for a minute because I saw last night you met The Bachelor. How was that?
It was awesome. Shout out to Charles Price for inviting us over. But
TFTI, Charles.
He's cousins with Ben Higgins, and we got to meet him, and he is as awesome as he is on TV. I mean, the guy's incredible. So that was fun, too.
Yeah, definitely a cool moment. But next Tuesday, you guys got a really big game against a top 5 opponent in 3A, Heritage Christian. How have you guys been preparing for that matchup, kind of leading up in the past few weeks, and how important is it to get a big victory here to finish the season out strong?
Woodland's been telling us every single game we have one less game, especially the seniors. I mean, we've got 2 left in the regular season, and they're both at home, so we definitely don't want to lose it at home. But Heritage has a great team, as they always do, and I actually don't think we've ever had the opportunity to play them, but we picked them up on our schedule this year, and it's been really exciting, and that'd be a huge win going into sectional. So we have a whole week to prepare now that we're not playing Pike tomorrow, but it'll be really good. We're excited.
Do you think the expectation is a lot bigger this year rather than last year in the playoffs?
I think so, just because we've had such a successful regular season. I mean, we've had such big wins, and we've beat everybody in our sectional so far. So mathematically, we're supposed to win a sectional, but you know, you never know what's going to happen tournament time, but we just have to keep playing the way we're playing and be unselfish, like I said, we've been.
Tournament time is almost here, and as Sam mentioned before, you know, you've played on the varsity basketball team, you know, all 4 years. Does this team have what it takes to make a run at a state championship? Because you've seen it all.
Yeah, I think this is the best team we've had. I mean, I may be biased, whatever, I'm a senior. I obviously want it to be our best year, but I just think we all just work really well together. I mean, there's seven of us varsity players, and I couldn't say I'm closer with anybody else. We spend hours upon hours together, whether it's morning practice, afternoon practice, team parties, whatever it is. I think this is the best team, and I hope we make a good run this year.
Now, you said your team is your home away from home. They're your other family. What is your favorite team bonding activity?
Oh, goodness. Honestly, our dance parties and stuff before the game are really great. Some of the songs, you might judge us, a little Jesse McCartney, a little High School Musical in there. Ooh. But I know our assistant coach, Alex Guyton, makes fun of us all the time, but our pregame music is incredible.
That's a perfect segue to what I was going to ask you next. Describe to me, like, in more detail, what your pregame playlist is.
Oh, goodness. I mean, like I said, Jesse McCartney is definitely one of my faves. I've definitely added him on there. We are obsessed with High School Musical. I'm not going to lie.
10-year reunion last night. Reunion,
yeah. We were excited. We know some of the dances from the movies, but they're all, like, pop, like, kiddie songs. But they get us hyped, so we like it.
Whatever works, right?
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for joining us, Celine. Make sure to tune in to the girls' varsity basketball game next Tuesday. Sam has the call. You can listen to Celine and the rest of the Lady Greyhounds playing. Thanks for joining us, Celine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the girls' team. Then we'll transition to the boys. And later on, we have boys' varsity basketball player Garrett Covington coming up here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. A great interview with Lady Greyhound Celine Funky. She just talked about the girls' basketball team, and Sam is still here. He is the play-by-play man, in case you didn't know that, for the girls' basketball team. Sam, we have a few questions for you. I know Celine Funky characterized herself as sort of doing the dirty work, coming off the bench. How would you characterize her?
I mean, that's what she does. She comes off the bench. She plays a really tight defense, which was really shown in the Fishers game. I mean, only allowing 2 points in the first half was unbelievable. But yeah, she's a really aggressive player. She's all over the court. I can't really put a position on her because she basically does everything. Takes a lot of mid-range jump shots when she's on the offensive side. Provides a good scoring help there. But yeah, she's just all over the court, very aggressive, and a great player for this Carmel Greyhounds team as a good sixth man.
And we were talking to Emily Kamek last week, and some of these people, whenever we ask them, who's the leader on this team, they all say Celine Funky. Yet she's the, like we heard, sixth or seventh man to come off the bench. Even though she is that bench player, how do you think she provides a spark to the team?
No, she does play a lot. She gets in probably midway through the first quarter in most games. But yeah, it's just her emotion that she kind of shows. And her willing to be aggressive, like I said before. I mean, if a ball is loose, she'll go after it. She's very fast, very quick. She makes smart plays. She's a really great ball handler. She's all over the court. And, you know, like she said in that Fishers game, the whole team was unselfish, which it's true with her. She's always really unselfish, not really taking. If it's a bad shot, she won't take it. She'll pass it. And she's just really there. She's a team player, and that's what I like from her.
Whether it's her or another player, who would you say has to have the best game or streak of games in order for the Carmel Greyhounds to make a run of the state championship?
I'm going to go with two, Emily Kamek or Blake Smith. Blake Smith has been playing down low, playing really great down low in the past couple games, averages about 9 points a game. She was really good in the Fishers game. I believe she had probably 15. I think it was about 15 in that Fishers game. But yeah, she's been really lighting it up lately, playing really well, playing great defense, about 2.1 blocks per game, I believe it is. But Emily Kamek also, her jump shot, her three-pointer was struggling all year. She hit a couple in the Fishers game. But if she can improve and get that jump shot just a little bit better, and she averages about 11 points per game. She's one of the top scorers, tied with Amy Dilk right now. But if she can get that three-pointer to kind of light up near the sectional time, I think the Greyhounds will be unstoppable.
Now, we saw the last game against Fishers. The Greyhounds just blew out the Tigers, especially in the first half and going into the second half. I'm guessing that Coach Wendland put in some of the JV players in that game. Who are some of the players at the JV level playing at the varsity game that you saw that impressed you?
Well, Molly Gillig, she's listed on the varsity team. I'm not sure if she plays a lot JV, but she's a sophomore, and she gets in varsity time a little bit every here and there, but she had 9 points, like three threes in a row. It was insane. Molly Gillig was really lighting it up from that three-point line. I saw Regan Hune. She's like the next Celine Funky. I can compare her to the next Celine Funky. She's very aggressive all over the court, emotional, very fast. She was very impressive. Mackenzie Wood also, she's got a big frame, pretty tall there. She was getting some good rebounds and points there. So, you know, it's a really young Greyhound team right now. We only start two seniors. So the future for this team is just unbelievable.
And that segues perfectly into my next question. Now, you talked about Reagan Hune, the younger sister of old defensive lineman for the Greyhound football team, Kendall Hune, and the aggressive style in the football and basketball play that both played over. And you said there are only two seniors that are starting. How do you think all these younger players are able to mesh with the seniors that have been here longer?
It's a really good combination. They've obviously learned. You can tell on the court, the seniors are really teaching the younger players really how to play the game, and it's going to really show off here in the next few years. They're going to be really well developed, and you know, Coach Wendland has a great system going. It's just going to be really interesting to see what they do. And, you know, every player provides a different type of play, and they all really mesh together really well. And it's really showing. The Fishers game is my main example I would use for that. You know, everybody was scoring points. It was crazy. But, yeah, it's a really good combination with the younger players and the older players just kind of coming together. And I think it'll be successful for them in the playoffs.
Now, we've talked about all the areas that these Lady Greyhounds are really good at, and rightfully so, because what's their record, Sam? 17-4,
17-4, yes.
Yeah, 17-4. But what's the biggest area of improvement that they need to work on?
Three-point shooting. I think they've shot around 30% for the whole year. And, you know, Kamek had a few good games in the beginning of the year from the three-point line. She was doing really well. But ever since, it's been kind of cooling off. So she said, like we interviewed her last week, she said that they take 100 threes per practice. They hit a little bit more than they have against Fishers, but when you get to these tough teams like Heritage Christian, and when you get into the sectionals, it'll get a lot tougher. So if that three-point shooting can really heat up as we move into the playoffs, it'll get them momentum and it'll get them rolling.
Short break coming up. Thanks for talking to us about the girls' team, Sam. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the boys' team, and we will also have an interview with Garrett Covington, a new player for the Carmel Greyhounds. You're listening to Hound Sports Talk.
You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk.
Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, everyone. Just got done talking about the Lady Greyhounds. Now let's move on to the boys basketball team. They are 7-5 on the year, coming off a win against Avon. And a new addition to the team is joining us right now, Garrett Covington. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Garrett, you moved here from Atlanta. You lived in Carmel till about 7th or 8th grade, that's correct?
Yep.
And you moved down to Atlanta. You went to Greater Atlanta Christian High School, and you moved back at the semester. How different is it here at Carmel High School?
Well, for one, it's a lot bigger. I went to private school, so it was a lot smaller. And then coming my first day, it was really overwhelming trying to find classes. So, yeah.
Your first game against Avon was last week, and I was there by the student section. The student section was chanting, "We want Garrett," basically the entire game. What was your reaction to that?
I was very surprised. It felt good, though, to hear them say that, because I'd been wanting to play on the court for a while at the Carmel Greyhound Stadium for a while, so it was good to finally be there.
And what's it like coming back and playing for such a great coach like Coach Hetty?
It's really cool. When I was in sixth grade, during Pups, it was like his first year. So, and then I moved the next year, and I was really looking forward to being coached by him. So when we moved back and I got the opportunity, my first practice, I was so excited because just the things he was saying to me and the things he was telling me, it was just great. It was positive things.
Did you start practicing right when you moved back to Carmel, or how long was that transition period?
So the first day I moved back, that Friday, we had a game. Then the next day, we had a walkthrough. So walkthroughs counted as practices, and I needed to get in 5 practices before I played. So that next day, I got here, I started practicing. So,
How well was the team chemistry when you first were welcomed to the team? Was it like an immediate acceptance to the team?
I think it was, just because I had been playing with almost all of them since fourth grade. Even when I started basketball, I'd been playing with them. So we knew each other's style of play. So it was really comforting coming into a team, just fitting right in.
and Preston Flaming being one of the leading scorers on the team this year so far. You've played with him forever. What's it like having being able to come back and play with one of your good friends in Preston Flaming?
It's awesome. We played together middle school, elementary. So just coming back and being able to play with him is it's really great.
Now, how nervous were you when you stepped into that game for the first time? I know you shorted a free throw, missed your first couple shots, but then you obviously got going. 14 points and 10 rebounds. Not a bad debut, a double-double. Yeah. But how nervous were you the first time you stepped on the court?
I was so nervous because coming into a new environment from private to public school, it was just really different. So, and especially the crowd was hyping it up too. So when they were doing all that, I was like, okay, I really have to come out here and perform. So when I first got the ball, I was like rushed and I traveled and I was like, oh shoot, I got to calm down. So yeah, I was a little nervous.
Now, a lot of people, including myself, consider you that you're the missing piece that this Greyhound team needs to make a run to the state championship. What do you think you can offer to this team?
Well, I definitely think I can offer defensively, my defensive intensity and scoring, I think, is something that I can add along with energy. Just whenever we're low. Being able to pick the team up and being able to push through the adversity. So,
and one of the things we saw in your first game, when you knocked down your first corner three, you came off of a screen. We actually saw you call for the ball a couple times. And that's a pretty bold move in your first game, pretty much demanding the ball from your other players. And Sterling and the other guys got it to you. What's it like? I know we asked about the chemistry earlier, but what's it like having these other players respect you so early?
It's really great. Like I said before, just playing with them. And them seeing me, not since 7th grade, like whenever I come back here and I've had a tournament, they've all come to watch me. So the respect aspect, it's just been really great to be respected.
Would you categorize yourself as more of a shooter or a scorer on the offensive side?
I would say more of a scorer. I'm going to shoot the three if it's open. But I'm going to find other ways to score, if not.
All right, so you guys, coming in, you're 7-5. There's been some struggles earlier in the year. Oh, how much potential do you think this team has, and how much better can you get throughout the year?
We have so much potential. And since I've been here, the games that we've lost have definitely been close. And I think they're just mental mistakes down the road that can be fixed very easily. So as far as us going further, I think as long as we don't have mental lapses during the course of the game through finishing, we'll be all right.
And you were on the bench. You weren't technically on the team yet at the game against Cathedral and the environment there. What was that environment like? Was that one of the craziest things you've ever been a part of?
That was one of the craziest games. The environment, the crowd was really into it. And just the four overtimes. I mean, they were holding the ball the majority of the overtimes, which is really frustrating. So just seeing that and just not being able to be on the court, it was really frustrating. But I think we did a great job just battling and pushing through that, even though we didn't get the win.
Now, playing at a smaller Christian high school in Atlanta, what's the competition difference that you've seen between that and here in Carmel?
It's not really different at all. We play, our schedule is mostly 6A schools and then some 4A school, like different just public schools. But when it gets down to like playoffs, then we'll play 2A. It really prepares us to like kill the competition.
I got you.
Yeah.
Now, you're playing Indiana high school basketball. It's one of the biggest things in the state.
Yeah.
Have you noticed anything from the fans that, like, this is big, this is important?
Well, Carmel, the community is really involved with every sport, which I love. And the difference between Indiana and Georgia is Georgia, it's really big and spread out. And so you're not going to get as many people to your games. But here in Indiana, everybody's at the basketball game, which is awesome. So
And you guys play a very tough opponent coming up this Friday, tomorrow, Pike. And one of your former teammates, actually, Justin Thomas, yeah, from the Pups days, you'll be playing him. What will it be like facing off against him and the Pike Red Devils?
It'll be really bittersweet. I haven't got the chance to talk to him yet. I kind of wanted it to be a surprise, but I don't really know if he knows yet that I'm going to be playing this Friday. But I can't wait to play them. I really can't. Can't wait.
Now, we ask this question to players every single time on the show, and we've gotten a variety of answers, but what is your pregame playlist? What are you listening to before game time?
I'll definitely listen to Future, I'll listen to Drake, and my go-to is Young Thug. Shout out to Wesley Middleton.
Wes.
Oh, my goodness. But sticking with the off-the-court stuff, well, I guess not really. Who do you try to model yourself after as a player?
As a player? My coach, actually, Jerry Stackhouse, he told me that I play a lot like Kawhi Leonard for the Spurs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, hustle player, really likes to get after it, and is not afraid to get down and dirty. So, yeah. I'd have to agree.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Garrett. That was a great interview. Good luck this Friday.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the boys' team on Hound Pound Sports Talk. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. We had two great interviews today, guys. One with Celine Funky for the Lady Greyhounds, and one with Garrett Covington, the newcomer to the boys' varsity basketball team. Describe what those interviews were like for you guys and what you got out of them.
Yeah, you said Garrett Covington's a newcomer. He may be a newcomer, but he sure is playing like a veteran in his first game, having a double-double, 14 points, 10 rebounds. He's so poised. He's so calm in the game and off the court as well. And talking to him, we asked him, what he can provide for the team. And the one thing that stuck with me is defensive presence and energy, because on this team right now, we really don't have a lot of emotional leaders, don't have a lot of energetic leaders, and I think Garrett can provide that to this team.
Yeah, with the Celine interview, I mean, she sounded very confident. It was very good to hear. You know, she said what I've been thinking this whole time. She's all over the place. She just likes to do the dirty work, and you know, she plays very tight defense, very aggressive, and sounds very confident going into the playoffs.
There's no doubt that Celine is a leader wherever she is or whatever she does. But going back to Garrett, I was surprised at how poised he was just during the interview. A lot of people come in here, athletes who've lived here their whole lives, or in his case, you know, only the last couple of weeks. Obviously, he lived here until seventh grade, but that doesn't really count at this point. But, man, he was really poised during that interview. A lot of people come in here nervous, like just to get in front of a mic, and he's not nervous on the court or off the court. I was impressed with how much of a leader he was in that on the court against Avon and also off the court. I can tell, like you said, Sam, that he could really be the missing piece for the Carmel Greyhounds.
Yeah, I really agree with what you said there, Jack. He is that missing piece. And we saw him last game against Avon, the absence of Preston Flamian due to illness. He wasn't there that game. And when throwing Flamian back in the mix along with Garrett Covington, those two guys are get to the rim with ease scores, like we're going to see a couple nights against Pike, who have a lot of those players on their team as well. But having Covington and Flamian together on the court at the same time, I think that's going to be a very deadly duo, very similar to last year in Colpin Klein.
Yeah, we consider them that he's the missing piece, but what do you guys think is the one thing that the Greyhounds need and the thing that he provides to make him that missing piece?
Late game shot creating, and there's no doubt that yep, he can provide that. Late in the games, you know, it comes down to one possession. Like Coach Hetty said in our post-game interview after Avon, they're 7-5, but they could easily be sitting at 11-1. They have four extremely close losses. The only blowout loss was to Lawrence Central. And, you know, late game possessions come down to shot creating on the offensive side of the ball. And Garrett is able to get into the lane a lot of the time. He can knock down shots. And, you know, Carmel has a lot of guys who can make shots. They just can't create them. Just like I said, and, you know, how I've said it before. And Garrett can get into the lane, get guys open, get Preston Flamian the ball, get Sterling Brown the ball, get them open shots. And, you know, that's going to really help them down the stretch.
Yeah, and the one big loss the Greyhounds had this year, like you said, to Kyle Guy and Elsie, the McDonald's All-American. Congratulations to him for making that team. But it's tough to go against those guys who are such high-caliber players who, yes, you've been playing against for the last couple of years. But earlier in the season, you didn't have one of those main guys that could step up. That was a tall, athletic player. Yes, you had Preston Flamian, but you had him guarding more of the big man position. So I think Garrett Covington can now come in. Yes, he's a very tall player, but he's not as big and built as Preston Flamian, and he's more of an athletic player than Flamian. So I think his athletic presence to this team is going to help them without a doubt.
And with Garrett coming in about halfway through the season, you can't really consider him really a senior leader yet, but do you think he, through the season, do you think he can evolve into that as the games go on?
I almost consider him a senior leader yeah. right now. I'm going to be honest. I was so surprised. You made a great point, Brady, in one of your questions. You asked him about demanding the ball at the top of the key coming off of a pick, that one specific play. And if you're a guy in his first game, you know, coming back to a city that you've lived in before but haven't seen these guys in years, and you're calling for the ball in your first game on the team, that shows a lot of leadership and confidence, in my opinion. So I'd consider him a senior leader right now, and there's no doubt that he'll be one down the stretch.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Jack. And like I said a second ago, or in my question earlier to Garrett, is when he's demanding for the ball, the other players respected him and respected for his call for it because they know he's such a good shooter and he's such a good playmaker. Not only does he make plays for himself, he made plays for other players as well. He fed the ball great. He led a lot of the play through the big man, which is what I think the one thing the Greyhounds really need to incorporate more in the second half of the season is getting their play through the big men. Yes, we saw Trent Richardson limited minutes due to illness as well, and Britt Beery stepping up a lot. But the play through the big man, they don't have to take every shot. They get the ball in the post, but feed the ball into the post more. And I think Garrett does a great job in finding every open player on all aspects of the court.
Now, I know you guys heard this, and I asked this to Garrett, but with the student section chanting, "We want Garrett," it was almost like a scene out of Hoosiers. And do you really think that he has that big of an influence on this team?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, any school is going to be excited when a new player comes in and who has all the hype and talent that he does. And, you know, a lot of us were expecting it. The students had heard about it. They were expecting it. So I think Garrett can make an immediate impact. And I think everyone in the school knows that because, you know, people look at this Carmel Greyhound team and say, oh, 6-5, 7-5, whatever, they're not that good this year. But when a guy comes in like that, you know, that brings excitement around the team that, you know, this team doesn't really have this year that they had last year with Klein and Culp. You know, they could shoot threes wherever they wanted to or whenever they wanted to, but Garrett provides a little bit of that excitement. I thought they were exciting anyways. That's just because I'm a pure basketball fan. But, you know, this team is actually going to be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, they really are. And it was at the single second after the opening tip-off, the student section Shazarda chanting, "We want Garrett," which was really funny and was really great. And this is sort of similar, but he has less time. You sort of think of it like a Keegan Culp who moved here, I believe, in the beginning of his junior season. And that's sort of similar to Garrett, is when you come in, you're already a leader, you're already a talented player. People know who you are and you've played against them before. Yes, Garrett has been out of the system for 5 or 6 years or so, but then when you throw him back in right in the mix, in the heat of everything, I think it's great. So I think he's going to provide an aspect of play sort of similar to Keegan Culp, like we saw, and like we saw him make a huge impact on the team down the stretch.
Moving into the playoffs, you know, he's obviously going to have a huge impact, but I think this team already had a really good chance to win sectionals because if you look at their sectional, Zionsville and North Central, they're out. And those were by far the other two best teams in Carmel sectionals. Zionsville's having a great year, so that's a pretty darn good win for their first game of the season. And then North Central, we obviously know what they are. Yeah. They're a top five team in the state. They've only lost, one or two games, one to Southport recently. But now that those two teams are out, and Garin Catholic, I mean, they just moved up to 4A, you know, and they're struggling this year. And then Anderson, a team that Carmel already beat by 20-plus earlier in the year. You know, those two move in. Carmel's got a pretty easy sectional if you actually look at it. So if the Greyhounds are playing well at the end of the year, there's no doubt that they have the talent and the ability to get through sectionals. And with Garrett, I think he provides that extra spark, that extra plug-in that could enable them to move even past regionals.
I agree with you on that one. The spark that Garrett provides and just provided in the first game against Avon is going to be huge in sectionals and on to regionals. And if they go even further than that, I think he will be one of the key players to that. And like I said so many times, I said it in the broadcast the other night, I've said it in the show, the combination, the 1-2 combination of Covington and Flamian is going to be one of the best duos we've seen in a long time. And I think it's going to be very, very similar to the combo of Klein and Culp from the last couple of years, because the ability that Klein and Culp had to shoot from the perimeter along with attack the inside is very similar to these guys this year.
I would say it's actually a three-headed monster, because you can't discount Sterling.
Yeah.
You cannot discount Sterling because he's one of the leading scorers. He was the leading scorer for a while. I think Preston's taken over that mark. But a three-headed monster with Brown, Flamian, and Covington, that's pretty ridiculous. Covington's the main guy who's going to create those shots. Preston, Flamian, he can also create, but not nearly as well as Covington can. But Preston, we've seen him do it all. He can hit the reverse layup. He can knock it down from outside. And then Sterling's a great leader, a great point guard, and he has a phenomenal outside shot.
Yeah, and Sterling's one of the best. I consider Sterling a true point guard who has a good shot. He's one of the best true point guards that I've seen play for Carmel in a long time.
I'd say Michael Vojvodic.
Yeah, that's who I was going to go, without a doubt. Or maybe a guy like Daniel Moore, who played here much further back. Yeah, but those guys, in the more recent years, past 5 years or so, I'd say Sterling Brown is one of the most versatile point guards that we've seen on this Greyhound squad because of his ability to find the open passing lanes, play great shutdown defense, and also shoot from the perimeter. And that's a great combo guard from Sterling.
Now looking at this game coming up this Friday against Pike, wow, it's going to be a doozy here at the Eric Clark Activity Center. Justin Thomas is the guy I'm really looking at for Pike. We talked about it with Garrett. They were teammates. Justin Thomas used to live here in Carmel, but he moved down to Indianapolis and he plays for Pike now. Justin Thomas is one of the best defensive players I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, I played against him, and I couldn't get the ball across half court every single time we scrimmaged his team and Carmel Pups. And he's continuing to do the same thing at the high school level. He's going to play college ball somewhere. I think he pickpocketed Ryan Klein a few times. We were talking about that during the break.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to watch how the Carmel Greyhounds plan for him and the whole matchup between Garrett and Justin.
Yeah, and like we heard Garrett say a little bit ago, he's not 100% sure if Justin actually knows that Garrett's backing on the team. How could you not know that? You're scouting the team.
I completely disagree. If you're scouting the team, you have to know Covington's a part of the team.
Yeah,
now.
And he's back. He's one of the main people on this team, one of your main scorers now. But I think the matchup between these two guys, I'm not sure if Justin will be guarding Garrett Covington in this game. He probably will match up against a guy like Sterling Brown because Justin is that guard on the Pike team who is a phenomenal defensive player, pickpocketed Ryan Klein 3 or 4 times last year. That's the most times we've seen Klein be stolen just from Justin Thomas as a junior last year. He's one of the smaller players on the court, but he's the quickest, fastest, and probably the best hands on the entire team and probably on the entire court as well.
Pike really likes to bring the pressure, and so did Lawrence Central, a game that Carmel got blown out in. I think it's going to be a very similar type of matchup. The difference is Carmel has evolved, in my opinion, from the second game of the year tremendously. So let's see how that plays out. Let's see if Carmel can handle the pressure this time with a lot of those young guards in the backcourt like Sterling Brown, Cole Jenkins, Alex Fallander. If they cannot turn the ball over, handle the pressure, make a few shots down the stretch, and create shots near the end of the game like what Garrett can bring, I think they have a really good chance to get this signature win.
And talk about a guy that's been making great shots off the bench. It's P.J. Barron in recent games. He's been playing phenomenal off the bench. He took the starting role over Preston Flamian this last game when Flamian was out from illness, and then having P.J. Barron step up, providing a great spark as his first game starting. He's a phenomenal player, and he's one of the most overlooked players probably on the scouting report probably all season long, because he's one of those guys that is your sixth or seventh man further down the bench. But when he comes in, he provides those great clutch shots from the corner. He has a great driving move as well, and he's a great mid-range shot. So P.J. Barron, one of the best, I think, overall scorers on this team from the bench.
Along with Covington, Carmel just has so much depth. We've talked about it countless times, but that's another reason why I think they will be successful in sectionals. They will have fresh legs coming off the bench, guys who have varsity experience, a lot of minutes, like P.J. Barron, Cole Jenkins. I don't know if Covington's going to be in the starting lineup for Sam Oliphant or anybody else or not, but another guy like Sam Oliphant, a bunch of these role players to go with Covington, Brown, and Flamian, the main scorers for this team, that's just going to provide a very tough matchup for any team they play. So I thought Sam had a question.
Yeah, I thought he did too.
Sam looked at us like he had a question, but
you guys shut my mic off, and I was like, I mean, I might say something sometime.
I thought you told me to turn it back on. All right, well, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I'll just mention the girls' game on Tuesday versus Heritage Christian. Heritage Christian, number 2 and 3A. It's going to be a really interesting matchup. Just before sectionals, they'll have that, and then they play, I believe, Jay County that Friday because that Ben Davis game got canceled because their season got suspended. But senior night on Friday against Jay County should be a win, and that game against Heritage Christian, a big test before they go into sectional play.
Even though I already mentioned it during the show, Sam had to get that in at the end there. But that's all right. Listen to the boys' game on Friday and then the girls' game coming up on Tuesday. And that will wrap it up for Sam, Brady, and Jack here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Because of the holiday, we got a little screwed up with the schedule, so that's why we're on this week. We'll be back on in 2 weeks, and we'll go every other week from there. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.